And now, more Food Talk STL with David Craig on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.
Okay, we're back in the Bomarito Automotive Group studios here at KFNS. Suzanne Corbett, good morning. Thank you. I'm very good. There you go. Say it again.
Good morning. How are you, David?
I'm actually great. I got a couple of things here to mention. Have you heard about the new burger that they have at the Rascals ballpark?
Are you talking about the Krispy Kreme one?
No. That's over in Sauget where the Grizzlies play.
That's right. No, I haven't heard about the burger.
But the Rascals have a new one sort of to match that. It's called the Arch Nemesis. It's a 900 calorie. Here's what it is. It's 2 quarter-pound hamburger patties, a 1/3-pound chicken breast, 4 slices of cheese on a bun, and they're selling it for just $6.
Just $6?
They had a thing about it on STL Today, Suburban Journals, and it was a nice feature. And so if you're going to see the Rascals at the T.R. Hughes Ballpark in O'Fallon, there you go. Our friends at U.S. Cellular have sent over some cooking apps that you can download for free. Epicurious. Do you ever look at that website?
All the time.
Okay, well, they have an app that has 28,000 professionally tested and created recipes in a category for 4th of July stuff. One called Big Oven. You ever heard of this app?
Haven't heard of the Big Oven.
Okay, Big Oven. Supposedly, you enter up to 3 ingredients of random items that you have left over, and it'll give you a meal option using those ingredients.
It's sort of like spin the bottle with the recipe, what's left in the cupboard kind of thing.
It could be.
Okay.
Campbell's Kitchen, which has something to do with, I'm sure, Campbell's Soup, including barbecue ideas. It's a free one on Android. And then there's one from Weber that it actually costs $4.99, but they say that's cheaper than a cookbook. Weber's On the Grill is not a free app, but it's an app that has 280 classic Weber recipes, plus rubs, marinades, and such. Okay, and one other thing here. Have you heard of this event coming up at the end of July?
Well, let me take a look at that.
The St. Louis Food Media Forum.
And yes,
I think for people who are would-be restaurant reviewers, food writers.
Want to be cookbook authors, stuff like that. Yeah,
well,
I saw
and,
that.
And folks who, I was talking to somebody the other day. When you do a restaurant review, you can't just say, it was delicious. I mean, if you're me doing this show, I can just say, hey, those ribs were delicious. But, you want to be a little more descriptive.
Right. You want to go into just how they actually taste. Besides, they taste good. If they're nice and tender and succulent and juicy, and or they're a little tough, or that's got the right char on them, which I'm going to learn because I'm supposed to be into the St. Louis Barbecue Society judging school.
Good.
Because I was invited to be a judge at the American Royal in Kansas City come October. And I was just up there about a week or so ago, and I'm telling you, KC takes their barbecue really serious.
Well, now, they were promoting food for the All-Star Game and for people who are traveling over there for the All-Star Game.
Oh, you betcha.
And All-Star Game tickets, I don't know how much they're going for on StubHub, probably several hundred dollars, but
several hundred
for maybe over $1,000. I don't know.
Oh, I hear it's way up there, but there's lots of things to do in Kansas City that you don't need a ticket to go to the All-Star Game.
I agree.
I mean, there's wonderful things that are going on, and food is one of them.
Well, now, what did you eat when you were over there that was worth mentioning on this show?
Oh my god, they have All-Star themed food that what they have at the K, which is the Kauffman Stadium, mm-hmm. that you can grab from time to time when you get in there, with or without a ticket, because without a ticket to a game, you can get in and for a small price, you can take a tour of their Hall of Fame, and then nosh on their All-Star Kansas City rib stack, which is one killer of a ribeye sandwich that's dressed out with all the trimmings, just dripping with all this wonderful good stuff, including barbecue sauce. And then they take that barbecue theme and they put pulled pork on top of a hot dog for the All-Star dog. And then they've got their nachos that are covered with cheesy corn dip along with smoked brisket. I mean, they're killer.
That's
a killer thing.
That sounds pretty good.
It is good.
Let's look at Suzanne Corbett is visiting with me here on Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan, KFNS. Let's talk about the big holiday coming up, inconveniently on a Wednesday. Yeah, yeah. It's a, kind of a funky calendar this year because St. Patrick's Day and Cinco, big restaurant days, came on Saturdays, which are already big restaurant days and bar days. And now 4th of July comes on a Wednesday, and, you know, some people are already taking time off and going to the lake, and other people will go Tuesday and make it a five-day weekend. But 4th of July, staying in town. Careful with fireworks. So many, I guess most everybody's canceled their fireworks, but I think we're still going to have them down at Fair St. Louis.
Thank God for the river, huh?
They're shooting up over the river.
That's
okay,
true.
One of the big 4th of July traditions is having a great watermelon maybe some cantaloupe. And Suzanne, for me, so many times you see a watermelon, it looks beautiful, you taste it, and it's like, this is just really bland. Do you have a suggestion for picking a perfect watermelon without being able to see inside it?
Well, you're probably one of those that go through the store or the farm market and start thumping on them.
Well, that's the thing that I've always heard, but I don't know exactly what you're listening for.
Well, if you've got a bad ear, you know, you're tone deaf, is that going to do you much good?
Okay.
You know, and some people say, oh, that's the way to do it. You listen for that B-flat sound, and you think, what? You know, so that's not going to help you either. Can I say?
Sorry for butting in. No,
that's okay. Hey, listen, but if you are tone deaf and you're not a good thumper, okay, what you want to look for is, first off, you want to pick the thing up, because people forget that watermelon is over 90% water.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be sure that it's heavy. It's got a lot of weight to it, okay? And then turn it over. Because when it sits on the ground as it grows, it's got that little spot to it.
Sure.
When you flip that over, take a look at it, it should have like a creamy, buttery color to it. And that's going to tell you that it's ripe. If it's green or if it's white, it's not ripe yet. You know, so chances are you'll have a better melon if you kind of follow those tips. Now, of course, if you're a thumper that goes from way back, thump away if it makes you feel good.
My wife got, right before Memorial Day, probably the best tasting cantaloupe we've ever had. And the same thing with cantaloupe. You know, there's times you have two or three really good ones, and then you get a dud, and it looks good, but there's not much flavor there. Do you have a suggestion for picking a cantaloupe?
Well, when I was on the kid on the truck farm, and we grew those, what we would do is we'd pick them, look around the stem end,
mm-hmm.
and if you see a lot of green on that, it needs a little bit more time. And my mother was a person who swore that you had to smell these things. You had to smell them to make sure they smelled right. Well, once again, if your nose is bad, it ain't going to work either. So I kind of go by making sure that all those green parts that's in those stripes that go across your cantaloupe, or what we used to call mushmelon.
That they're not green.
That they're not really that green. It's starting to color a little bit. You know, the same kind of rule goes with a pineapple. If you see a lot of green to it, if it starts to golden up, it's just about there. It's perfect.
Okay, let's talk about favorite red, white, and blue dessert, because a lot of people will be having family and friends mm-hmm. over, and you bring something out, and it's like, hey, that's so good looking.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it tastes good.
Well, you know, I'm a kind of a retro kind of gal. I like old-fashioned recipes. And a 1950s-style Jell-O poke cake can't go wrong. Grab yourself a white cake mix. Just bake it. You're laughing at me.
Okay, a Jell-O.
I'm telling you.
No, I'm listening. Okay,
you're going to...
White cake.
A white cake. Bake it. And then take either blue or red Jell-O, a 3-ounce
mm-hmm.
package.
Mm-hmm.
Mix it up in half a cup of hot water, and then thin it down with a little bit of half a cup of cold water.
You put that on top of the cake?
Well, what you do then is you take a fork and you poke the top of the cake, and then you pour this Jell-O on top of it, you know, the red and the blue, and then you slide it into the fridge to let it sit up for like 3 hours or so. Then take it out and put whipped topping on the top of it. Then you can throw some blueberries or stuff. But then when you cut into it, you've got these blue and red streaks to it. I mean, it's an old dessert that's been around since the 50s and the 60s.
Well, there was a thing in the Wednesday section in the Post-Dispatch, I think, you know, with blueberries and mm-hmm. strawberries, which is probably a pretty good way to do it.
Oh, sure.
And I remember, it was just a year or two after we got married, and my wife made just a beautiful, nice sheet cake decorated in red, white, and blue. And
with the flag on the top with the berries, yeah.
And you bring it out at the right moment, and a lot of it's just presentation. And I guess, you know, you could probably put sparklers on there, too, unless you're in a very dry area.
That's true, and you're in the right county.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's the interesting thing is, you know, you go right across the county line and you can get pretty much anything short of nuclear weapons. And
yeah,
then you
right.
then you go back to the areas in the city and in Illinois where those things are tremendously illegal. And well, that's a whole different topic.
But you know, that kind of a cake or a super red, white, and blue dessert can elicit that that you're going to get that you won't get when the fireworks aren't going to go off this year.
That's right. That's right. Okay, now pickles. You're a pickle maker.
I'm a blue ribbon pickle maker.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Now, did you win this blue ribbon at the State Fair in Sedalia?
At Sedalia. But after I became a professional food writer and culinary teacher back in 1980, I couldn't compete anymore, but I do judge.
Okay, so back when you were an award winner, for people, I mean, do people still make a lot of pickles? I mean, there's plenty of them there in the grocery store.
Well, you know, it's learning the old-fashioned slow food ways again.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that I kind of grew up with because we grew up on a truck farm, and that's not a farm that grows little trucks. That's a small farm that you have a truck that can do all the heavy lifting and cart and stuff to the market and back. And we always had cucumbers and peppers and things like that. So I grew up learning how to make dill pickles and sauerkraut and relish and jams and jellies and all that kind of stuff. But I always consistently won blue ribbons for my bread and butter pickles. I still have folks that will call me and want to know if they're on my Christmas list for pickles.
So if a listener wants to make some bread and butter pickles, you got a quick tip to offer to do that?
Yeah, well, make sure that your pickles are fresh. Make sure your cucumbers are fresh. Mm-hmm. They're not a pickle yet. But make sure your cucumbers are fresh if you get at them from the farm or from the farm market and work them up right away. You don't want to let them sit around for a week because they're going to get soft. And all the alum in the world that you can throw in the pickles and these old recipes talk about will not make them crisp. You have to work with fresh ingredients and work them up fast. And make sure that you use real canning salt, which is different than the salt that's at the table. And I'm not talking kosher salt. It's a different grade, and it does not have the additives to it. And if you don't use kosher, I mean, if you do not use canning salt, like if you would use kosher salt or heaven forbid, that stuff in the round container with the little girl on it, it can make pickles and other canned goods cloudy and soft.
Where else on radio in St. Louis? Maybe the NPR gal, you know, might talk about how to make pickles, but
oh, Lynn?
Yeah, but I can't think of any other place on a local radio show where you're going to get pickle making tips.
Hey, right here.
Right here.
Right here on Food Talk STL.
590 The Fan. Have you been to St. Jen lately?
No, I haven't, but you know, I need to take a ride down there because I'm scouting out some recipes for summer wine coolers and sparklers and things like that.
Okay, and where do you go when you hang out in St. Jen?
Oh, I hit all the wineries because they're just wonderful. You know, from the St. Jen Winery in St. Genevieve downtown to Charmette, Charleville. There's just so many different wineries that are there that you can grab and enjoy. It's just wonderful.
And where have you gone lately beyond Metro St. Louis, beyond day trips, you know, out learning about food and things that are going on in the food world?
I have been to Georgia.
Ah, one of my favorite states.
I love Georgia.
Where'd you go and what was going on?
Oh, I went down for the Vidalia onion harvest. It just was fantastic. You learn about all the different things that you can do with these wonderful onions that are sweet and wonderful, and how it took these counties that were in Georgia that were decimated and just stripped grounds, the soil was just stripped from the nitrogen from years of tobacco and cotton raising, and just on a whim, sort of, they decided to put these onions in because it was better to grow something than nothing. And these onions, because of the lack of the nutrients that was in the soil, came out beautifully sweet.
That's like in Adam Wainwright country in South Georgia, right?
Right, around Scottsboro and places like that. Just wonderful. I mean, you can go into Scottsboro and make that your headquarters and just start running around. Just get a hold of the Vidalia Convention Visitors Bureau, and they'll let you know.
Take an onion tour.
Now,
did you write up a story for like a AAA mag or a something with from that? Or
well, I did something for Prime Life Circuit.
Yes.
And right now I'm trying to work on a piece that's a little much further up the road from the Vidalia fields, and that's in Juliet, which is where the Whistle Stop Cafe is.
Oh, yes. Fried green tomatoes.
Fried green tomatoes. But cool. I ate onion rings when I was there.
Okay. Well, hey, Suzanne, thank you for visiting with us. Always a pleasure to have you stopping by the show and what's going on in your life. And I hope you have a happy 4th of July.
I will.
And grab some of those ribs out there. And I think we have some more food that just showed up, too. So.
Oh, I'm going to go look.
Okay.
Well, I see my fork. I'm gone.
All right. That's Suzanne Corbett. We're Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan KFNS. We're coming to you from the Bomarito Automotive Group Studios.